Visual aids. I like visual aids. Anybody do jigsaws here? Oh, we've got one or two. Oh, good. No, it's all right. I'm not going to ask you to do it whilst I'm preaching and see if I can condense my preaching to the amount of time it takes you to do a jigsaw. I have phases on jigsaws, really. So have we got the first slide with the jigsaw on it? Yay, there you go. I will have a phase on jigsaws, and I'll have a jigsaw out on the table, and you sort of walk through the dining room, and you think, and you just pick one up, and you put it in, and then you find another one, and you fit it, and then the whole evening's gone. You know, it's one of those, it can be a bit addictive. But I do quite like them, and then there's times when I hardly ever get one out and tattle it. But there was a time a little while ago when I was visiting some friends in Nottingham. For those of you who don't know me, the accent is Nottingham. We have buses and ducks. Okay, so don't worry about it now. You know where I come from, Nottingham. And I was visiting some friends back in Nottingham, and they had a jigsaw on the go in their living room. And I was there for sort of a bit of a retreat. And they're very good. They let me come and use their little house, a sort of cottage in the countryside. And most of the time, they just leave me to it. And I'm sitting there in the lounge, praying, reading my Bible, and then I saw the jigsaw. And I thought, oh, well, you know, that looks interesting. I said, oh, it's really frustrating, that jigsaw, you don't want to be doing. But I thought, oh, jigsaws, I can do jigsaws. There are some basic principles with jigsaws, aren't there? Do you know them? Find all the straight edges, find the corners, and you're off. I thought, oh, yeah, everybody knows that. Easy peasy. But there's one other basic with a jigsaw. You need the picture on the front, don't you? Well, I went over to this jigsaw and I looked and I picked up the box and I looked at what they'd already done and I looked at the box and I looked at what they'd done. And then I realised there was no picture on the front of the jigsaw that you're doing. It was one of those that they give you a story and you have to follow the clues through the story. Oh, you've done one of those. I can see you nodding. Thanks, Lynn. And the picture emerges as you work through the story. And it was frustrating. And so challenging, frustrating, but amazingly satisfying when you got it right and you got it done. Now, over the summer, we're going to be looking at a series on heroes of faith from chapter 11 of Hebrews. And it's a long list of men and women of faith who each have a story to tell, and their stories are found in the Old Testament. And although each one has their own personal story of faith to tell, sometimes there's things within their story to inspire and encourage us. And the stories are very honest, because although these are heroes of faith, they weren't without flaws. And the story is very honest and tells us about the mistakes that they made. But what is key about these heroes of the faith is that their story fits into a big picture. And let's have the next one, Martin, please. And it says there, do you ever get the feeling that you're part of someone's big picture? And that's sort of the visual aid, if you like, for this week. I did want Isaac Higford, and I wanted to bind him up and put him on a pile of wood and get Andy to set it on fire, because we're talking about Abraham and Isaac this morning. But that visual aid wasn't going to be possible, so I went for the jigsaw. Okay? These key stories in the Old Testament all play a part in the big picture. But the thing is, you also have a story that plays a part in the big picture. But like that frustrating jigsaw my friend had, there are clues as to what the big picture looks like. But it's still not completed. We're still, that story is still unfolding. And so as we look at these heroes of the faith, as we go back through the story in the Old Testament and see its connection to the New Testament, and then on through the generations to ourselves, we start to get the clues to make the big picture and see our role in it. Okay, so today, Hebrews. Let's have a look first at the beginning of chapter 11 and remind ourselves of the writer's definition of faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. If you were here last week, you'll know that Andy began to tell us about Abraham, and he told us how he left Ur, and that he was known as friend of God. He was by faith that he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. And then the writer tells us a bit more about Abraham. Abraham lived in tents, though he looked forward to a city with foundations. God promised Abraham descendants as numerous as the stars, even though he and Sarah were childless and elderly. By faith, Abraham believed, and God considered him faithful, and Isaac was born. It's worth going back to Genesis and reading that story and discover for yourself. So, you know, I know you'll probably think, oh, I know that story. But go back and read it again, because I promise you there will be things in there, little nuances that you perhaps thought you knew and you hadn't fully appreciated. So go back and read the story. Find it in Genesis 21-22. But read all of that. As I say, Abraham made mistakes. He acted at times in his own strength, even though God had promised he would do things. Sometimes Abraham acted in his own strength. Abraham could be deceitful. He lied about who Sarah was. Sometimes he was very selfish. It was to protect himself that he made Sarah vulnerable. He showed traits of insecurity. Abraham was far from perfect, but God considered him faithful. Actually, I think the story of Abraham points more to God's faithfulness than to Abraham's. And maybe that's the whole point of his story. As Abraham grew in his faith, as he grew in his trust of God, as he grew in his trust in the faithfulness of God, he himself became faithful. That which he focused on, he became like that. He took on those characteristics. He learnt to focus and put his trust in the faithfulness of God, and he himself became faithful. Now, the letter of Hebrews describes what might be considered the pinnacle of Abraham's faith story. So let's read this one. Here's the key story for today. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And in Genesis, this is how the story is recorded in Genesis 22. Thank you. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. As I say, go back and read the whole story. But we see that by faith, step by step, we see Abraham growing in his faith. The key feature of our faith is not that we come to God with faultless spiritual maturity. The feature of our faith is the object of our faith. That's what makes it strong. Not that we have a huge amount of faith, or that our faith is that big faith for big things. Jesus said that, you know, if you've got the faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll move mountains. Because it's not the faith that something will happen, it's the faith in God. It's faith in the covenant-keeping God, faith in a God who has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Abraham learned to take God at his word. When God made a promise, he fulfilled it. When Sarah laughed at the thought of bearing a child in her old age, God said to Abraham, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" And Isaac was born. Now, about 15 years into the promise being fulfilled and Isaac being born, 15 years of watching this young man grow, God then speaks to Abraham again. Now, I just in my mind was doing the thing about all our young people going to Soul Survivor and the ages of our young people. So I was thinking, Isaac was about the age of those young people. There you go, out there. I don't know how old you are, but there you go. But this time when God spoke to Abraham, it wasn't words of comfort. It wasn't words of promise, really. They are words that at first must have seemed unbelievable. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to a region, I'll show you where, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Now, Abraham knew all about child sacrifice. He'd come from Ur. He'd come from pagan culture. He knew all about that. And you must have had this sense, his heart must have sunk. Hold on a minute, I left all that. I thought I was worshipping a different sort of God, and here's this God asking me to do this. It must have been an incredible blow to Abraham. But nothing in Scripture tells us what was in his mind. We don't know any emotional struggle that he went through. I know what I would have thought, and I can guess what some of you would have thought as well. We'd have an argument with God. Yes? Who would have an argument with God? No, you can't possibly believe that. We talked about this at breakfast church this morning, and they said, well, they'd think, no, that can't be God saying that. That must be the devil. You know, no, it can't be that. And someone actually said, no, they would definitely argue with God. I think I'd have that argument with God. I'd go, I know your voice, God. I've learned over the years to recognize your voice. I've walked with you. I've worshipped you. I've listened to you for years now. So how on earth could you ask this of me? What about those promises of descendants that are so numerous, more numerous than the stars in the sky? What about the promise of heirs that will bless the whole earth? All nations will be blessed. What? How? Why? Can't possibly be right. Well, if Abraham asked any of these questions, we would have understood and been sympathetic. But we don't know that he did. In fact, we're more inclined to be told that he didn't argue. He knew that he was faced with the most difficult test of his entire life. And he had to choose obedience to God or hold on to his son Isaac. And Abraham chose not only to obey, but to obey swiftly. In the Old Testament, in the scripture, in Genesis, it says, early the next morning, he set out. He reasoned, God gave me a son miraculously. God has kept his promises in the past. God is God, and he can, if needs be, raise my son from the dead. That's what he worked out. So Abraham did what God asked of him. He went towards that mountain. When he got there, he said to his servants, you stay here. The boy and I, we're going to go. We will worship and we will come back. Sure and certain faith. Now, I've thought about this quite a bit this week, and I've tried to imagine those final moments when Isaac was bound and laid on the wood, readied for death. They must have been horrifying moments, both for Isaac and for Abraham. Yet they both remained resolute. And this account of Abraham shows us something truly significant about faith. When faith is tested, it's in these moments we discover the depth of our faith. When faith is tested, it's in these moments we discover the depth of our faith. And who is the beneficiary of that? It's not for God's benefit. God knew Isaac, knows him better than Abraham, knows him better than he knows himself. It's for Abraham's benefit that in the testing, discovering the depth of his faith, that does something for Abraham and consequently to each one of us, because we are inheritors of that faith. Now, I wonder if there are times when you have gone through true challenges, questioning times, where, God, are you in this? Why are you asking this of me? And in retrospect, you can look back on those and see how your faith has grown. I know some of your stories, and I know some of you have gone through that. I also know that some of you are in the midst of that challenge, even today. When we can't make sense of what God is doing in the present, the accounts of these heroes of faith invite us to look back and remember what God has done in the past, and then step out in faith for today. Abraham is in that list in Hebrews as an example and an encouragement to inspire faith. There is a big picture, a plan that God has set out for our future, for your future, for our future together. We're still inheritors and part of the big plan that God set before Abraham, that all nations will be blessed through him, his descendants, through us. We think about what's happening in the Middle East and hold on to the promise that all nations will be blessed. All nations will be blessed. There's a big picture. Those great heroes are like significant pieces of a jigsaw. Their stories are giving us clues as to the big picture. We read them and we get inspired to listen to what God is saying to us through them. But you know what? If all we do is familiarize ourselves with the story, if all we do is get that, oh yeah, that's interesting, yes, now I can see that, and then it goes nowhere, then we're missing the point. If we do not apply what we're learning, if we do not allow the Holy Spirit opportunity to work in us and shape us and fit us for our place in the big story, then we run the risk of growing weary and losing heart. Thank you. That was the reason that list of people of faith, heroes of faith, was in the letter to Hebrews. The Christians there were beginning to lose heart. They were under pressure. There were things happening. There was stuff they couldn't understand. And they were probably saying, "What are you doing, God?" And some of them were giving up. We run the risk of growing weary and losing heart if we don't not only hear what God is saying, not only hear the inspiration of these stories, but then that we apply it to our own story. So I want to ask you a couple of things. There are two responses to the challenge of Abraham's faith story. And I'm back to jigsaws. Okay, here we go. I've got here a load of little bits of card with jigsaw on. And I'm going to ask you to, can I ask you to sort of take one and pass them around? Can I ask you to do that? And because we're going to have a time of worship in a moment and we're going to respond. But there's two ways of responding. If you look at a piece of jigsaw, don't take the analogy too far, but there's this sense of we've all got a story, we're all a piece, but put together we make up a bigger picture, and God has in mind a much bigger picture. But on a piece of jigsaw, there's little bits cut out, and there's little bits that stretch out. So there's the image. There are two responses to the challenge of Abraham's faith story. To throw off everything that hinders. So ask yourself, what is getting in the way of you growing in your faith? Abraham was called to leave behind an old way of life, old securities, self-reliance, his insecurities, his past mistakes. What is God asking you to leave behind? And think of that as the bits that need to be removed. And then there is an invitation to run the race, to keep moving forward, to get out of your comfort zone, to step out in faith, to risk everything. The story of Abraham challenges us to have faith in God, even when we don't understand. Abraham did not start with a great faith. He started with a faith in a great God. He who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. This was the great God that Abraham placed his faith. But here's these words from the first verses of chapter 11 of Hebrews. Since, therefore, having heard all about the heroes of faith, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here we go. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Abraham was counted as faithful because he focused on a faithful God. We fix our eyes on Jesus that we might become more and more like him. So what is God calling you to leave behind, to let go of? What does it look like for you to step out in faith? I'm going to ask the band to lead us in worship and a time of response now. But just hold on to that and look and allow Holy Spirit to prompt you. It is a personal thing, but it's also a corporate and collective thing. That this piece of jigsaw fits with the pieces of jigsaw that you're holding. They all come from the big picture. And we, if I respond honestly and obediently to what God is doing in my life, then the fit for us all is easier. Likewise, if you will allow God to remove those things that are hindering, and if you move towards those things that will grow your faith, then the fit together will be better. Lord, please, by your Spirit, will you shape us to be the people you have called us to be together. Amen. Thank you, Gay.
Please stand.